Terry, and our second lesson in the series, Journeys of Faith. And we're going to talk about the journey to Mount Moriah. Genesis chapter 22 is where we're going to take our text tonight. And every day we express faith in many different ways. Our faith is expressed in some things that are kind of a big deal, like when the doctor gives you a prescription and you take that prescription, you are exercising faith in your doctor and in your pharmacist to make sure that you believe that they know what they're talking about and you trust them and you exercise faith in doing that. We exercise faith when we go through a drive-thru at the fast food restaurant. We exercise faith all the time, but most of the time we don't give it any thought at all. But as Christians, it's easy for us to follow God's commands when things are going our way. When everything's going well, everything seems to be kind of clicking together, it's easy to believe and obey God. But when God gives us some instruction from his word that doesn't necessarily make sense to us, that we really don't understand it, then sometimes our faith tends to waver. And tonight we want to learn about Abraham and his greatest test of faith, and I pray that that will help us. When God calls us to do things that seem to be impossible, that we'll move forward in faith, that we will simply trust and obey God. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8, 9, and 10 say, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Abraham was called by God to leave the land of his father, Ur of the Chaldees, which is modern-day Iraq. Abraham responded to God's call with a heart of faith, in belief, and he responded with instant faith. He obeyed without delay. He obeyed without question. God was testing Abraham's confidence in God. He was testing Abraham's confidence in God. He was taking Abraham on a journey to strengthen his faith. Now, trusting God to provide a son was another step in Abraham's personal journey of faith. By all human reasoning, by biology and science and everything we know, the birth of Isaac was absolutely impossible. It was absolutely impossible. But Abraham's faith was demonstrated once again because he continued to believe God even in the face of the impossible. Now, our journey of faith will often lead us as well to the doorstep of the impossible. But our confidence should not be shaken. God is able to answer prayer, and his ability to answer prayer and to do great things does not depend on our human reasoning. It depends on his unlimited power. Abraham waited for years for God to fulfill the promise of his son. It seemed like the possibility of bearing a child was gone. Abraham was 99 years old, and there was still no son of promise. In Genesis chapter 17, verses 16 and 17, God's word says, "And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her." Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?" God was faithful to remember his promise to Abraham and Sarah. God required from Abraham absolute trust and a complete willingness to sacrifice his hopes and dreams of a great nation. His journey to Mount Moriah would be the ultimate test of faith. So notice with me tonight, as we look here at Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of." So we notice, first of all tonight, the commandment of the Lord. The commandment of the Lord. The command to sacrifice Isaac was no doubt the greatest test of Abraham's faith that we read about in Scripture. It wasn't the first test We've seen these other tests that God had already placed on him, calling him out of the land of his father to go somewhere that he didn't even know where he would go. He would show him later. As he obeyed, God revealed more of his will. We saw his faith to continue to trust God, even though it was impossible for him to have the son of promise. He continued to trust in God. But I want you to see that God gives these tests in his life and continues to add on those tests, and it proves to Abraham, to himself, his faith in God. There was a call to testing. There was a call to testing. God told Abraham to go to Moriah, which was about 3 days' journey. When he called Abraham to offer his son on the altar, it was an evaluation of his soul's commitment to God. The Bible says God tempted Abraham. Now, when we use the word tempted today, oftentimes we think of it only in the sense of being an enticement to do evil. But we know without question, God does not tempt us to sin. What it means here when God tempted Abraham, it means that he tested him, he tried him, or he proved him. We know God doesn't tempt to sin. James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. God is not going to tempt you to sin, but God may tempt you in the sense of trying you or testing your faith. So it was a call to testing. His commandment was a call to testing. God works in our lives through trials and testing, not to try to get us to mess up, but to bring us closer to him. As we respond in faith and obedience, God is going to draw us closer to himself. God uses difficult circumstances to stretch our faith. God uses difficult circumstances to bring us closer to him. And you will examine your life. If you've been saved for any length of time, you know that you've grown closer to God, grown more as a Christian in times of difficulty than you ever do when times are easy. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Our faith is precious in the sight of God. God puts us through trials to purify our faith, to purify us, to bring us to a place that will bring him more honor and glory when Christ comes again. So it was a call to testing. His commandment was also a call to sacrifice. Abraham was asked of God to sacrifice that which was most dear to him. Here we get back to Genesis chapter 15, verses 5 and 6. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven. Tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. When Isaac was finally born, the promise was given. He was a joy to Abraham's soul, and he was a reminder of God's faithfulness and blessings day by day. I want you to notice that God asks him to give up his only son in verse 2 of our text. Now, Ishmael had already been born, and he'd already been sent away, but Ishmael was not the son of promise. He was not the son of the promise. So Abraham and Sarah thought they were too old to have a son now, but God kept his promise. Somebody once said, you know you're getting older when in the morning you hear snap, crackle, and pop, but it isn't your breakfast cereal. Sarah definitely was way past the time of bearing children. It was past the time for her to bring children into this world, but nothing is impossible with God. So we see Hebrews 11, verses 11 and 12. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even one and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Sarah, it was beyond impossible. She was past age to have children, but she believed God. Abraham, he was too old for him to have children, but he believed God, and God blessed him. He was as good as dead, the scripture says, and yet God brought forth not only that son of promise, but he fulfilled all the promise in the multiplication of the nation of Israel. So we see the commandment of the Lord. I want you to notice next the cooperation of obedience. The cooperation of obedience. Genesis 22, verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now, I want you to stop right there for a second. Think about this. I wonder, I can't help but wonder how alone Abraham might have felt. When God came to him and said, I want you to take your son, I want you to sacrifice him in a place I'm going to show you. I wonder how long that journey of 3 days must have felt to him. He gets up early in the morning. He gets his two servants to go along with. He gets Isaac up and they pack up, get everything together to go make the sacrifice. I wonder how lonely he felt. Now, he had his servants with him. He had his son with him. But I want you to know as we go through this, we'll be reminded tonight that most importantly, he had his Savior with him. God was with him through it all. You know, a lot of times trials leave us feeling isolated and alone. But the reality is, if we are in Christ, we are never alone. If we're in Christ, we are never alone. So here, no doubt he felt alone, but he wasn't alone. His loneliness wasn't taken away because he had the servants or because he had Isaac, but because he was going where God wanted him to go. He was walking with God, and so he was never alone. I think loneliness and isolation is something a lot of people are struggling with right now. But I want you to understand, when we take the Word of God and we apply the principles of the Word of God, when we seek God's face and he directs our paths, we are never alone. We're walking with God, going his direction. And though it may feel like the whole world is against us, we are not alone. So the third day of traveling comes. They see the mountain afar off. Abraham leaves the young men and says, stay with the stuff. And I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And come again to you. In verse 6, it says, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And there are some beautiful pictures here. As we look to this passage of Scripture, we see so many pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll note a few of those as we go through this. But I want you to notice, first of all, it was an immediate obedience. Immediate obedience. No hesitation. Abraham didn't reason with God. He didn't argue with God. He didn't ask God for a drawn-out explanation. But when the morning came, he got up and he obeyed in faith. He obeyed immediately. George Mueller once said, faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There's no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where men's power ends. We aren't doing anything in the power of God if we're doing what we can do. God was calling Abraham to do something impossible. And there are going to be things in your life that are going to seem impossible to you, things that God's going to lead the church through that are going to seem impossible. And if it's only what we can do, then that's not faith. When we step beyond what's in our ability, that's when we begin to operate in faith, and that's where God gets the glory. Romans 1:17 says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. This is a principle throughout the Scriptures, Old Testament and New, that justified people, people who have been made right by God through faith, will continue to live by faith. And God's calling us to live by faith, and he's calling us to immediate obedience. There was a calmness. There was a peace that Abraham expressed as he moved forward in obedience to God's calling. He said, he told his servants in verse 5, I and the lad will go and worship and come again. There was a faith that they would go up and that they would come again. He was fully prepared to do everything God called him to do, but he still had faith that God was able to do what was impossible. D.L. Moody once said, "I prayed for faith and it did not come, but when I read the word of God, then faith came." Where was Abraham's faith? It was in the word of God. When God spake, he believed it. That's where his faith came from, the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's no different for us today. If you find that your faith is wavering today, if you find in the midst of COVID-19 that your faith is wavering, if you find that in the midst of not being able to go about your normal life the way that you would, or you're concerned about your job, or you're worried about your health, or whatever it is, I want you to understand, if your faith is wavering, it's directly linked to how much time you're spending in the word of God. And if you want to grow your faith, then you've got to get in the word of God. You've got to listen to the word of God. When we listen to God's word, he builds our faith. In Hebrews 11, verses 17 through 19, the Bible says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." We see the faith that Abraham had. He believed God. He was willing, when God tried him, when God tested him, to offer up Isaac. He believed the promise. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. But look at verse 19. Abraham was accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. See, Abraham really believed that he would go up on the mountain. He believed that he would slay his son, but he believed the promise of God so much that he believed the only thing that could happen if he did take Isaac's life was that God would bring him to life again. I want you to notice also that Isaac was obedient as well. When they came there and they leave the servants behind, the wood is laid on Isaac's back and he carries that wood up the mountain. And what a picture we have of Christ. John 19:17, Jesus bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. I want you to notice also that Abraham left his servants and supplies at the base of a hill when he went to worship. You know, I think for us as Christians today, there's a lot of baggage that we bring with us. And we've got to really start learning to leave things behind when it's time to go worship. We've got to stop bringing so many distractions with us. It's so overwhelming all the time. And I can only imagine how much more difficult it is at home right now, when you've got so many other sources of media, so many other sources of distraction, and it just takes that much more focus and intentionality to focus on the word of God. And every time we get alone with God, we've got to eliminate as many distractions as we can. We've got to leave all the other stuff behind, the excess behind, and just come ready to worship. So there we have it. We have Abraham and Isaac going up the mountain. We have them leaving this stuff behind. In verse 8, Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb." God will provide himself a lamb. Not only did Abraham have immediate obedience, but he had faithful obedience. Faithful obedience. Faith in God makes great optimists. Several years ago in Burma, Adoniram Judson was laying in that filthy jail cell. He had 32 pounds of chains on his ankles and his feet bound to a bamboo pole. And one of the fellow prisoners there was kind of mocking him, and he said, "Dr. Judson, what about the prospects of the conversion of the heathen?" And without delay, Dr. Judson replied, "The prospects are just as bright as the promises of God." Laying in that filthy jail cell, he had faith in God. He still had optimism because he knew that it was God who was able. It's God who accomplishes these great things. And so the prospects are just as bright as the promises of God. What God has promised, he most surely will do. So we've got to continue to put our faith in him. Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 3. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, We understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. It's faith that gives us an understanding of how this even universe comes into existence, and it's by faith that these elders got a good report, and it's by faith that we can please God today. In verse 6, he goes on and says, without faith, it is impossible to please him, to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, I want you to get this. This verse comes at chapter 11, and God has revealed to us many amazing, wonderful truths about who God is in the previous chapters. So when he says in verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, it means that you've got to believe that God is as he's revealed himself to us through his word. Not our concept of God, not the world's idea of God, but God as he's revealed himself to us through scripture. And when we believe God according to his word, then we can seek him according to his word, and then by that faith, we please God. So what are the consequences of our faith? The consequences of faith. Does God try and test us simply to see how much pressure we can handle? Does he test us to determine how strong our faith is? Listen, friends, God knows how strong your faith is. He tests us to build our faith. He tests us not to see how strong our faith is, but to make our faith stronger. He tests us so that we can be an example to other believers and be an encouragement to one another. He tests us to increase our spiritual capacity. He tests us so that our relationship with God can be better and better and better. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, the word of God says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. When we trust in God, we look to him, he comforts us by his spirit, and we can be a comfort to others by that spirit that he's given to us. So Abraham now prepares to sacrifice. Abraham prepares to sacrifice. In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 9, we read on, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. They climb up the mountain. We don't know how far, but there was a place appointed by God. When they get to the place, Abraham toils to build an altar there with the rock. They take the wood that they brought. They stack it in order. Then he ties up his son and lays him down on the altar. He pulls out the knife that he had brought, and he's ready to take the life of his son, just as God has commanded him to do. He proved that he was willing to give his most precious possession to God. Friends, God did give his only begotten son for all of us. Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, we can see a picture, we can see a figure, we can see a type or a glimpse, a shadow of God in his willingness to give his son for us. When we see Abraham willing to take the life of Isaac, but it's just a picture, it's just a shadow, it's just a figure, because the true was when God sent Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and humbled himself and was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. God was pleased with Abraham's display of faith. Look with me here in Genesis 22, verse 15. The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. God was pleased with Abraham because he obeyed the voice of God. How often does God speak to your heart? How often when you're reading the scriptures does he convict you by his spirit? How often when you're listening to a message does God prick your heart and prompt you to do something or convict you to stop doing something? Friends, we've got to learn to be obedient to the voice of God. When the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God speak to our hearts, we've got to learn to be obedient if we want to please him. We are obedient because we believe. And when we believe his word and we act in accordance to that belief, that faith and trust in God's word, God will be pleased. Is a willingness to sacrifice an evident result of the faith that's in your life? Like Abraham, are we willing to serve and honor the Lord with the things in life which we hold most dear? Are we reluctant to sacrifice our time, our talents, and our treasure when we're called upon by God to do so? Abraham was willing to give up everything, the things that mattered most to him, in order to obey God. I wonder, are we willing to sacrifice for God these days? Are we willing to sacrifice our time? Are we willing to give up a little bit of time that we might spend on something that we want to do? Are we willing to sacrifice that to give our time to God? Are we willing to take the abilities that God has given us and blessed us with, the gifts that he's given us through his grace, the gifts that he's given us through his spirit? Are we willing to use those things for the glory of God, to develop those things, to invest in those abilities so that we can glorify God? Are we willing to give our treasures to God, to sacrifice financially for the glory of God? Abraham was willing to give what was most precious to him, and we ought to have a heart by faith to give to God. Abraham was prepared to sacrifice, but God provided a substitute. Abraham was prepared to sacrifice, but God provided a substitute. You look at verse 11. Genesis 22:11, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. God provided a lamb, just like he had told Isaac before they went up the mountain. He was willing to do whatever it took. He believed God was able to do the impossible, but God stopped him and provided a ram to be taken in his place. It's important to remember God is much more likely to reward our obedience with an explanation than he is to give an explanation in order to encourage our obedience. Let me say that one more time. God is much more likely to reward our obedience with an explanation than he is to give us an explanation up front so that it will entice us or encourage us to be obedient. God wants us to obey him based on faith in his word. Sometimes we're reluctant to do what God calls us to do. We kind of want to see how it's all going to work out. Well, if I'm supposed to do this, but then what's going to happen? What's going to happen after that? And we kind of want the whole roadmap laid out for us. But God doesn't work that way. God, when he called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, he said, I want you to go to a place that I will show you. He didn't know where he was going to go. He had to trust God. He had to take that first step. And friends, God works that way. He expects us to obey in faith and obedience, and then he'll reveal more of the steps that we need to take. As he was obedient to God here, Isaac was spared. The ram was caught in a thicket, and God provided a sacrifice. Jehovah Jireh means the Lord hath provided. And what an incredible picture, because God provided a lamb for us. Jesus Christ is the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And as John said in John 1:36, "Behold the Lamb of God." When he saw Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Jesus Christ is the one who took our place. We deserve to die. We deserve for the wrath of God to be poured out on us. But in his rich and merciful love, he provided a sacrifice. God has provided one to take our place. And the reality is, dear friend, every one of us has sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have violated God's commandments. We've lied, we've stolen, we've disobeyed our parents. We've blasphemed the name of the holy God who loved us and has given us every good thing that we have. We've not always been obedient to him. We've committed all manner of sin before God and rebelled against him. And in the midst of all of that rebellion and all of that wickedness and sin that's been in our lives, God still loved us. And he provided a lamb for us. Jesus Christ, the perfect one, the holy one, took our punishment. He died in our place. Where we were bound in sin, just like Isaac was bound up on that altar, we were set free because he took our place and his blood was shed for us. And if you've never repented of your sin and put your faith in Christ alone, I invite you to do that right now tonight. I invite you to just admit the truth before God that you are a sinner, that you've broken his commandments, that you have gone away from him. Turn away from your sin. Turn away from your unbelief. Turn away from your self-righteousness. Turn away from your trusting in your good works. Let go of everything and turn to God. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Believe the word of God that Jesus Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures and rose again. Put your faith in him. Repent. Put your faith in Jesus and call on the name of the Lord tonight. Pray and ask God to forgive your sins, trusting in Jesus, and he will give you eternal life. Many of you remember April 16th, 2007. There was a young lady from Shawnee, Oklahoma, who was killed at Virginia Tech. Her name was Lauren McCain. She had left a powerful statement about her faith on her personal website. At 20 years old, student at Virginia Tech, she had written, "The purpose and love of my life is Jesus Christ. I don't have to argue religion, philosophy, or historical evidence because I know him." Tonight, I want to ask you, do you know him? And more importantly, does he know you? Have you put your faith in Christ alone? If you have put your faith in him, and then it doesn't matter what other religions say. It doesn't matter what man's philosophies say. It doesn't matter about anything else because you know him and he knows you and you can walk with him by faith day by day. In the middle of testing and trying and trials and difficulty, you can trust in him. You can believe his word. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, the word of God says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Have you been born again? Have you been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? You trusted him. If you're saved, you trusted him with the most precious thing there is, your eternal soul. And you can trust him every moment of every day. Luther Bridgers was a pastor in the early 1900s, and his wife and three boys went to Kentucky to visit family. He traveled over long roads and were weary. They were glad to see the family when they got there, but they went to sleep pretty quickly. A neighbor who was kind of restless that night woke up to see their house, his neighbor's house, on fire. He was able to wake up the grandparents they were staying with, and Pastor Bridgers got them out of the house. When they got out of the house, Pastor Bridgers realized that his wife and children were still inside, his three boys. He tried to rush back in, but they grabbed him, restrained him as the roof collapsed on the house. During those days of darkness and sorrow after losing his wife and three boys, Pastor Bridgers remembered Job 35:10 that says, "But none saith, where is God my maker, who giveth me songs in the night?" And it was during that time of heartache and sorrow that Luther Bridgers wrote the song, "He Keeps Me Singing." The only way a person could have any kind of joy like that in the midst of a great trial is by faith in the God of this book, by faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, by faith in the one who died for us and rose again. You see, there is hope in the darkness. There is hope in the sorrow. There is hope for eternity in the face of death. But that hope only comes through faith in God, faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. You know, God's still looking for people who will trust in him completely. Abraham trusted God immediately. He trusted him faithfully. And God is calling us to do the same today. Whatever trials, whatever difficulties you're facing today, I pray that you will trust in God. Get in his word. Spend time with him. Let him grow your faith as you go through the trials of this life. And may God help us all to grow stronger in our faith and closer to him. Let's pray together.